2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's hard to believe that we're only 100 days away from BYU kicking off against South Florida. Matt Biamonte, Mitch Harper, KSL Sports. We're here at Lavelle Edwards Stadium previewing the upcoming season. And when you think about BYU football in 2022, what excites you the most, Mitch?
I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is the offense. I think the quarterback play with Jaren Hall is going to be top shelf. You know, last year at this time, how are they going to replace Zach Wilson? Well, Jaren Hall answered the bell and was outstanding. I mean, he was a guy that didn't make many mistakes, and I thought he had an excellent year last season. But I think there's still a lot more to be had in terms of maybe yardage, big playmaking ability, and also more points and more wins for BYU, and Jaren Hall is going to lead the way.
I certainly believe there will be an offensive jump like you do. In 2019, we thought that there was going to be an improvement offensively. They finished the year 68th. And then in 2020, there was that monumental leap where they were a top three offense. Granted, the schedule was light, we get that. But that was a huge leap with a returning core, a lot like what we see in 2020, where last year, 17th in total offense, Mitch. And you think about last year's offense, and it was good. And you know, but to me, it doesn't scream top 25. But with so much returning talent, I believe that they can make another jump and be a top 10 offense heading into 2022.
Well, I think, you know, you look at all the offensive personnel that they have, Jaren Hall at quarterback, the wide receivers are maybe the best BYU has ever had, maybe ever. Not just talking about independence, not talking about the Kalani era, maybe ever, with Gunnar Romney, Puka Nacua, Keanu Hill, Chase Roberts, Cody Epps. We can go on, and there's still more guys waiting in the wings. I think also the offensive line could be maybe the best of the last quarter century. You've got all the pieces in place, and you also have the depth, too. So it's not where a case if you lose one guy to an injury, because injuries will happen, as we've seen with BYU. They've got the pieces in place from a depth perspective that they'll be okay. Now, Jaren Hall, he's a guy you can't afford to lose, because there is quite a bit of a drop from Jaren to Jacob Conover or Cade Finnegan. But everywhere else on the offense, they feel like they've got multiple guys that if someone gets hurt, it's plug and play, next man up.
I'm glad you bring up the offensive line, because it's so easy to talk about Jaren Hall, the wide receivers, even that running back room where we don't know who RB1 is going to be, but there's really three, maybe four guys that you're comfortable carrying the ball 20 times a game. And it's the offensive line that I think unlocks everything, Mitch, because there are maybe multiple first-round type talents on this offensive line. I mean, you have that quality of offensive line, it opens up the doors for Jaren Hall to have a great year, for the receivers to have a great year. So because that offensive line is so experienced and so talented, that's what really makes me believe this can be a top-10 offense.
Offensive line coach Daryl Funk told me in spring, they're shooting to be the best offensive line in the country. They don't feel like they were that coming out of spring, but he believes there's a chance they could be the best O-line in college football. And who are we to say that they can't be? Because they go about 10 deep. Aaron Roderick feels they're Big 12 ready already at that spot. So it's all going to start with the O-line. The running back room, as you mentioned, with Christopher Brooks, I think leading the way, is potentially RB1 out of Cal. I think he's going to be a productive back, and I think his production gets elevated because of that offensive line.
Defensively, Mitch, is I think where the lion's share, the question marks remain. You got to love the depth at defensive backs, particularly on the outside at cornerback. Linebacker, phenomenal. To me, The safety position is a bit of a question mark, even though you get Malik Moore back. And then, of course, it's the defensive line where if they can improve, I think that makes this football team dramatically better.
Everyone comes back on the defensive line except Lopa Leotau. Everyone's back. So I think that experience should lend itself to being more productive. Kalani said in spring he wants explosive plays on the defensive side. We asked Ben Bywater, what does explosive mean to the defense? He said sacks, interceptions. Sacks got to factor into the conversation for BYU. It has to. It just has to happen. And you think that with all that experience returning, that should lend itself to more opportunities to get to the quarterback. But the thing is that they're going to face some good offensive lines this year. Baylor's going to have a great offensive line. You know that with Jeff Grimes. Notre Dame's going to be good. Arkansas brings four starters back from last year's offensive line. So it's not going to be easy for them to have success. But I just think that experience alone is reason for optimism. I also think individual talents like Tyler Batty, Earl Tuioti Mariner, Gabe Summers, they're under the radar guys from a national, maybe regional perspective. But I think by season's end, they could be guys that make names for themselves and maybe work their way into being maybe NFL draft prospects.
The thing I'm most interested in seeing on the defensive side, Mitch, is how Elisa Tuiaki, Kalani Sitake, how they use the linebackers, because there's just such a wealth of talent at that linebacker position. How do you get them all on the field? I'll be very interested to see schematically what they do to get Ben Bywater, Max Tooley, Keenan Peely, Peyton Wilgar. I mean, those are four guys, and this hasn't predominantly been a 3-4 defense, but those might be three or four of the, I don't know, best seven players on the defense. So I'm just going to be very interested to see how this shakes out, because last year, Mitch, we didn't know that Ben Bywater was going to be a household name. That happened because of the injury to Max Tooley and then furthermore to Keenan Peely. Now there's so many proven guys at the linebacker position. I'm just dying to see how they get them on the field, because that will be critical for this defense to succeed.
It was interesting, too, in spring. We saw a lot of 4-2-5 from the defense. I mean, I can't imagine that's going to be the configuration with how good the linebackers are. Now, I think depth at linebacker is maybe a little bit thinner than what you would like, because the top end, first four or five guys, maybe Pepe Tenavasa joins that mix as well, they're pretty stacked. It's that the younger crowd, maybe a Tate Romney, maybe a Bodie Schoonover could step in as return missionaries and have a chance in the fall to compete, but that's high expectations for young guys coming off a mission. But I think that linebacking spot is talented. I mean, all those guys, Thule, Wilgar, Ben Bywater, Keenan Peely, they could all be NFL guys next year. And I think that's reason for excitement for BYU. I think the defense as a whole, the scheme, is where maybe some people feel a little bit uneasy, because many times in each game, you could point to that opposing offense just putting BYU in situations where you just felt like BYU had no answers. The only games that you didn't feel that way was, oddly enough, against Utah, where BYU's defense, I thought, was lights out good. They had that little stretch in the second half where Utah got back in it a little bit, and you're thinking, uh-oh, is Utah going to come back and win and make a comeback here? But outside of that game, like Georgia Southern, USC, where BYU was clearly the better team, these opposing teams had a lot of success. Now, was it simply injury-based? Was it the scheme? We'll see. We're going to find out soon, because, you know, if they can stay healthy in fall camp and get ready for South Florida, that will be a nice barometer those first couple weeks with Baylor and Oregon to see how much improvement Elisa Tuiaki in this scheme has adjusted going into 2022.
With 100 days to go, optimism reigns supreme here as we count down the days to BYU football, but there is reason for that optimism, and as we ever inch closer to kickoff, we'll continue these videos and previews as we get ready for BYU football in 2022. For Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.